From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where a group of doctors, medical experts, and civil rights advocates are calling on Acting Mayor Kim Janey to halt her plan to remove the street encampments along Melnia Cass Boulevard and Mass Ave, also known as Mass and Cass. Janey began what she's calling a general cleanup of the area this week, removing tents and relocating people into shelter. GBH reporter Tori Bedford has been reporting at Mass and Cass, speaking to people living there, residents, business owners, and stakeholders about the crisis. Hi, Tori.
Hey, Arun. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for talking this through with us, because there's been a lot of controversy around this, about Janey's plan. Tell us about what the critics are saying.
So at this news conference, doctors and medical experts, they got together at Mass and Cass, and they came armed with studies that show that placing people in involuntary treatment for substance use disorder actually increases the risk for overdose deaths. A study from the State Department of Health shows that people who receive involuntary treatment are 2.2 times more likely to die of opioid-related overdoses than people who receive voluntary treatment, and 1.9 times as likely to die of any cause. At this conference, we heard from Dr. Sarah Wakeman, who's the medical director for substance use disorder at Mass General Brigham. She says people should not be given an ultimatum between living in shelter or on the street.
And the only solution to houselessness is housing. People who use drugs have not forfeited their human rights, their rights to dignified care, to health, to housing, or to being treated with compassion.
Interesting. And it makes sense that nobody wants to have their agency taken from them. But things are getting cold. The area is just getting colder, and people are at risk for overdose right now. Why wouldn't people want to go into shelter at a time like this?
So there were about 150 tents there at one point. They were all supposed to be removed as of this week, and many of them are still standing because a lot of people don't want to be forced into an institution. I spoke to Taz, who's been living in a tent there for a few months now, and he said that he'd rather stay put.
I'd rather live outside than live in a shelter. Shelters have creeps. Shelters have rapists. Shelters have people who don't take showers. Shelters have people who don't appreciate working there. They're just there for a check. Who wants to live in a shelter?
Tori, what are the advocates and medical experts proposing instead?
The only solution, as they see it, is to actually provide people with affordable housing. In an earlier interview with Ezra L., who's an organizer with grassroots group ACT UP Massachusetts, we talked about how things like health care and housing can help prevent further substance use. Ezra was able to secure housing in 2015 and stopped using heroin after 2 years.
Substance use can be a product of unmet need that society's failed to meet, whether it be education, employment, mental health services to respond to trauma.
In the short term, advocates say housing vouchers and motels, like the ones that were provided at the beginning of the pandemic, could help while affordable housing is arranged. Otherwise, people will either be pushed into a different area of the city or forced into involuntary treatment, which doctors say poses a huge danger to their health. Cassie Hurd, who's the executive director of Material Aid and Advocacy Program, says that people have actually formed a community at Mass and Cass, and that offers them some protection. Things like trash and human waste on the street could be taken care of if bathrooms and dumpsters were made available.
People are creating a community with the resources that have been made available to them. The city is citing trash. The city is citing feces, urine. People are not being resourced to meet their basic needs.
How has the city responded to this? Has the city responded to this?
Not really. I mean, this presser was relatively recent. It seems like Janey is still moving forward with her plan to remove all the tents and encampments. But doctors and scientists are warning that this system has not worked before and it's not likely to work again.
Tori, this is great reporting. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's GBH's Tori Bedford. For her part, acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey has since said she is concerned that the process of removing people and their tents from Mass and Cass feels rushed and lacking in appropriate steps to ensure close family is notified and belongings are collected.
We wanted to make sure that our approach is one that respects individuals and their dignity as people, as human beings, that we give people proper notice.
City workers removed about a dozen tents yesterday over a 3-hour period, with more tent removals planned for next week. In other news, a new analysis of the state's public water systems finds that 70% of communities have detectable levels of the six most dangerous PFAS chemicals in their ground and surface waters. PFAS, known as forever chemicals, have been widely used in consumer products for decades. They're linked to elevated cholesterol, thyroid disease, and liver damage. The new report from the Massachusetts Sierra Club does not suggest that there's an immediate threat to public health because it doesn't look at treated drinking water, but it does point to widespread contamination in lakes, ponds, and aquifers, according to the Sierra Club's Clint Richmond.
This isn't a study of drinking water exposure to people so much as a study that's looking at the underlying contamination from which we're having to source our drinking water.
The state began regulating PFAS in drinking water 2 years ago, well ahead of the federal government, which announced plans to limit PFAS pollution earlier this month. Meanwhile, some state workers who object to Governor Charlie Baker's vaccine mandate have started looking for new jobs in local government, according to unions and local officials. In the small town of Hanson, municipal employees are on the honor system to wear masks if they're unvaccinated. Officials there haven't considered a vaccine requirement, says town administrator Lisa Green.
We've just settled all of our union contracts, and never once was the conversation of mandatory vaccination brought up.
Green says many towns like Hanson fear that mandates could lead to costly lawsuits. Meantime, the state police union claims New Hampshire and New Jersey are recruiting its unvaccinated members. The Baker administration recently said more than 1,500 of its 42,000 workers had yet to comply with the order to get vaccinated or obtain a waiver. And finally, Halloween weekend is upon us, and the city of Salem in particular is readying for what could be record crowds. Face masks will be required for all indoor events in Salem, and people attending large gatherings will also be required to show proof of a recent negative COVID test, regardless of their vaccination status. For all of you heading out to celebrate Halloween this weekend, have a great time. Just be safe. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since Halloween and a weekend, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. Between Zoom meetings and Zoom classrooms, have you and the kids had enough of screen time? Turn off the screen and tune in to the Pinkalicious and Peterific podcast. Join Pinkalicious and her little brother, Peter, as they sing along to their favorite songs from the hit PBS kids show, Pinkalicious and Peterific. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite player.